The reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Let me tell you a fishing story. Hey, don't worry, it's not about me. It's about my good friend and colleague, David Kowalik. And David tells of a trip he took once with a bunch of his mates to one of the best fishing beaches in Australia on Cape York. It's a long, long way to get there. It's about 150 kilometres down the track to the next settlement. And on this particular beach, there are gutters a little way out from the shore running parallel with the shore. And the fish school and they rush through these gutters to catch the bait fish. They're actually fishing for threadfin, which is a prize fish up in that neck of the woods. And anyway, they saw a big school coming. They got to this place and everybody's ready. And they all ran to, you know, up the beach to get a good cast. And as they were, David tripped and fell. And as he did, a lure that was in the pocket of his pants badly jagged through the meaty part of his thigh. And there he was. But he still managed to crawl a bit and get a cast away. But he was in a lot of pain. And he asked for help from his mates, but he could find no sympathy there. They'd come a long way to get to one of the best fishing beaches in Australia. They weren't going to, you know, now turn around and go 150 kilometres back down the track to hospital. David, you can wait, mate. The pain can't be that bad. But the pain was that bad. And anyway, after he was gone on for a while, the pain was getting worse, wasn't getting any better, and he eventually pleaded again with his mates, and one of them gave in and decided to take him back down the 150 kilometres to the hospital, which they did, and they were away overnight, and they arrived back at the fishing beach the next morning. And as they arrived, David was there hobbling in from the car, and his legs all patched up, and walking down onto the beach, a boat pulled in with two guys, and one of them was in great pain getting out of the boat. And lo and behold, he had a lure jagged into his leg in just exactly the same place that David had. And David pointed to his bandaged leg, and he gestured to the guy, said, "Mate, I had the same injury yesterday. I just got back from hospital."
And anyway, they were just both overcome with mutual sympathy, and they embraced each other like long-lost brothers. It was a beautiful thing. Anyway, David's so-called mates, happily fishing, didn't seem to care much at all about him. But a complete stranger who was in exactly the same situation and had the same injury showed true sympathy. Well, humanity, what we are, full of goodness and love and joy, but at the same time full of weaknesses, selfishness, sin, and the brokenness and scars that result. Is all of our real humanity, our broken humanity, is that included in the event and truth of Christmas? Does the good news of Christmas speak to that part of our humanity and apply to it and help it? If not, then Christmas wouldn't relate to much of our lives. In fact, the largest part of our lives would be excluded if that was the case. Christmas, Jesus Christ, identify utterly with who we are. And so as Ruan just read for us in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Son of God became flesh at Christmas. Became flesh. Flesh and blood, what we are. But in the New Testament, where it uses the word flesh, it's not meaning kind of just pristine, pure humanity in some absolutely perfect state. When the New Testament uses the word flesh, it speaks of our humanity as it stands in opposition to God and his kingdom. In other words, sinful humanity. And Romans 5 says that Jesus inherited the humanity of Adam. What kind of humanity was that since Adam? Well, humanity twisted up, marred, and broken by sin. Paul says in one place, God made Jesus to be sin for us. Now, when we see these things, don't panic. This, we're not saying and we're not meaning that Jesus somehow was sinful or sinned. No, the Bible says quite explicitly the opposite. He didn't sin. But no, what we're saying is that he inherited, he took up, he became our sin-broken humanity. That is a different thing. Just like Jesus in his ministry touched lepers, but he didn't become leprous. Just so he took up our sinful humanity and he didn't become sinful, but remained utterly holy and obedient to God. Great Scottish theologian and preacher T.F. Torrance put it like this, that when the Son of God became human like us, he got inside our sin-broken humanity. And then, through the rest of his life, he went to work healing it from the inside. Bending it back from rebellion against God, bending it back to obedience to God. And that healing process that Jesus began at his birth, he finished at the cross, where he paid the full cost for our sin and finally did what? Killed off the sinful us. And then in his resurrection, he raised up a new humanity, a new us, a new creation, as loving, obedient children of God. And what Jesus then did and what he does now is he gives that new humanity, the new us, he gives it back to us in the power of the Spirit. and we get to live it now as new creations, as the New Testament calls us. This is all God's doing in grace. He makes us new, gives us a new humanity, a whole new life as the action and gift of his grace. From time to time we get to say in church what is the most classic creed of the Christian church that captures the essence of the faith and the doctrine that we believe, the Nicene Creed. And the chief architect of the Nicene Creed was Saint Athanasius. And he taught and spoke a great deal about Jesus taking up our sin-broken humanity and healing it. And he had a phrase. So what Jesus did, another way we say that is that he took on himself our sinful humanity. Athanasius said, if he didn't assume it, he couldn't have healed it. If Jesus didn't take up our sin-broken humanity and work from the inside to heal it and cure it, make it new, it could never have been healed. So the flip side of what Athanasius is saying is the assumed is truly healed. Our broken humanity that Jesus took up, he has healed it and cured it. He did assume it. The Christmas story, as we're told in Luke 2, is all about Jesus coming into the world as the saviour of the world. And what that means is that all that he did as saviour, absolutely, definitely applies to you and to me. Whoever we are in all of our brokenness. So in verses 3-5 there in John 1, we heard, what has come into being in him is life, was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. And that foreshadows, here at the very start of Jesus' life, the very end of Jesus' life on earth, where the light of his truth and grace would overcome the darkness of our sin and brokenness. This is touched on again in verse 29 in John chapter 1, where John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, points to him and says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus paying for and forgiving all of our sin through his sacrifice on the cross. And then in chapter 1 and verse 12, that's why I can say there, but to all who will receive him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God. See that completely new creation, the new us, true, dear, beloved children of God. All who look to him in faith and repentance. It is their gift. It is our gift. Just in closing, what I want to say tonight is to all of us, you know, when the angel comes and the angel says, to you, this is good news. To you, for you, he has come. All that really we can do is to hear and believe that we are included in this Christmas truth, this reality, and receive what Christ has done for us in the power of the Spirit. And as we do that, that has to heal, that has to transform our lives. And therefore, real joy is for us. Real joy. Not a pretend joy, not trying to pretend somehow our lives are prettier than they are, and that, you know, we can smile our Christian smiles at church, but elsewhere we know it's a misery. No, Jesus penetrates into all of that and brings his grace and his good news and his salvation and his joy there. Real joy for us at Christmas and always. Amen.